We turn to our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no god in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon, and prophesy against it, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards, and they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. So when we come to Ezekiel chapter 28, and we look at the history of interpretation on it, there have been some very fanciful looks at this passage. I would like to present it to you in a very straightforward way. This is the Lord's judgment upon the cities of Tyre and Sidon. And there's no hidden metaphors behind it. This isn't the Lord looking through the king of Tyre to Satan himself or anything like that. In the history of interpretation, this passage and Isaiah chapter 14 have been, I think, sadly twisted and made to look at the at Satan himself instead of these earthly enemies and the Lord's triumph over these earthly enemies for the sake of Christ and on behalf of His people. So here we look at Ezekiel 28, and the first 10 verses are straightforward enough. The king of Tyre has come under scrutiny, and why? Because he put his hands on his hips and he said, aha, when Jerusalem was falling. Remember that from last week. Three little letters, three chapters, or just about three chapters of judgment comes upon Tyre. We don't think evil about God's people. We don't rejoice when they fall. There is this sort of petty jealousy that takes place, even sometimes among Christians. And if we want to learn something from these three chapters, that's one of them. What a great amount of anger the Lord pours forth on that kind of silliness and petty jealousy. This must never obtain among us. Secondly, where do these jealousies come from? They rise up out of pride. And this is exactly what is spoken concerning the king of Tyre here. Now, I hope that you're able to recognize a little bit of the Lord's irony here. Right? First of all, don't you find it remarkable that Ezekiel mentions Daniel, Daniel mentions Jeremiah, and so on? That as you read through the Old Testament prophets, they're actually reading each other, aren't they? And they're reading each other not as a fellow, We're bros here. No, it's not like that. They're reading it as the Word of God. You know, Ezekiel is reading Daniel as God's Word. Daniel is reading Jeremiah as God's Word. We've studied that before. It's an amazing thing to think about that prophets themselves inspired and writing God's Word read other prophets with you know, acceding to them at proper divine authority of those works, because it is God's word, right? So it's an amazing thing. But then notice how the Lord changes, right? First of all, son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now in verse 3, the Lord changes His attitude or His expression here, and He says what? Well, it becomes some biting sarcasm. Oh, look at you. You're wiser than Daniel. You know all secrets. And then it just goes on and on like that. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. Thou hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. And what is the Lord doing here? He is helping him, making him to realize that every bit of prosperity that he's enjoyed has not come from himself. It has come from God. He's not wiser than Daniel. He hasn't gotten these riches and stuff with his own wisdom. He hasn't increased by his riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, that is verse 6, behold, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. They shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. They shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down. Then notice verse 9. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? Now let's remember who it is that God is talking about. Who is the one that slays him? It's not the nations that God brings up. It's God himself. Will you say before me that you're a God at that time when you're taking your last breath? It's an amazing thing that God does there in that expression. Now, in verse 11, we go from God's expression of sarcasm and then judgment to a prosaic piece full of poetry about the king of Tyre. It's not about Satan. It's still about the king of Tyre. Well, why does he use the word cherub then, Pastor? Right? How come? Why would he use the word cherub? Because the cherub, the cherubim, known as God's angels, they were also known as great and mighty beings themselves. And so it is as if the Lord enters into the king of Tyre with his own argument here. You're thinking of yourself like you're this covering cherub. You were in the Garden of Eden. You have a kind of timelessness about you, right? You're hoping to go on in this dynastic way, generation upon generation upon generation. And so, with this kind of prose, down through verse 19, finally the Lord says that the Lord will bring judgment upon him. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. May I say that that could not be said of Satan at all. Why would the Lord lay Satan before kings? That doesn't make any sense. No, this is still speaking of the king of Tyre. So, all that know thee, verse 19, this is how it wraps up, among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be anymore. All right, so then we move to verse 20, and we change gears. Now we're talking about Zidon. Sometimes it's spelled with an S, sometimes with a Z. These are both coastal cities way up to the north and west of Galilee. Okay? North and west of Galilee. And these are the places that were considered to be the outskirts, the borders, if you will, the hinterlands of the land of promise. And so when the Lord says, you're going to give up your lands to the people of Israel, that Jacob will possess all that I've given him. We understand what that means. In other words, God will give to them all of the land. And we read that, don't we, at the end of the book of Joshua, that the Lord gave to the children of Israel everything that he had promised. But they didn't do very well keeping that inheritance. And so Tyre and Sidon and Gentiles moved into the land of Naphtali and Zebulun, as we heard earlier in the Matthew reading, quoting from Isaiah 9. And so the people of Israel didn't do a very good job of keeping that inheritance. But the Lord says that he's going to restore it to them. And all of those enemies that have moved in that would mar the inheritance of God's people, they shall be indeed thrown out. So we have heard then the Lord's judgment upon several nations thus far. Finishing up here with Tyre and Sidon, in the next three chapters then, we're going to move to Egypt. And we're going to take a step back in time. But we'll see that this afternoon, Lord willing. Let's stand and continue praying.